Universal Basic Data Income. It's not just an idea. There's an app for that. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This holiday week, we're taking a look back at some of our shows from 2019 that deal with topics we'll be thinking about in the year ahead. Data is at the top of the list. And when it comes to trading your data for free services, are you getting a fair deal? A growing roster of people say you should be paid for your personal information, but so far, no one's quite figured out how that could work. Two startups are working on it. DigiMe, spelled like digi.me, is an app that lets you connect all your various online accounts. It scoops all the data they have on you and puts it in one encrypted location that you can control. And then a company called Ubdi can, with your permission, pay you to share some of that data with companies or researchers. Dana Budzin is co-founder and CEO of Ubdi. Get it? UBDI, Universal Basic Data Income. And I asked her how it works.
We do allow individuals to aggregate their own data across different applications and accounts like Fitbit, Spotify, credit cards, Instagram, etc. And then we give these people a vehicle to basically share anonymized insights from that data with paying companies and researchers and nonprofits. So with our application, we present individuals with different studies. Once you've linked your accounts, you're able to click in, view the details. It may include a question of a survey, which people are familiar with. It'll tell you, you know, Spotify listening to certain tracks, or we're looking at finance and we're looking at coffee trends. So we want to analyze Starbucks or Pete's coffee spending, whatever it may be. And then you swipe to consent, and that data is anonymized on your device, aggregated in the back end, and shared with researchers who obviously are paying you.
Got it. So then you, as the consumer, are pretty actively contributing, right? Like I, the consumer, am actively opting in and participating and getting paid.
Yeah. And that's just one thing that we heard. There's been, you know, with everything that in the data space that can be scammy, we really wanted to take the approach of don't just come link your accounts and trust us. You know, trust is at an all-time low. We get it. Everyone's been lying to people, corporations. There's no trust there. There's no trust in government, you know. And we really felt to build that trust, we wanted people to take a more active role and just be as transparent as possible. You know, there's these different groups of people, whether you're a female or a runner or a skier, different companies want to be matched with you. And because of the way that we've built this, we still protect your privacy and, you know, only show you studies that are relevant to you. But because of that, we can pay you more and let you take that more active role and not waste your time or your effort and make it pretty quick and simple.
How then do you protect that data? Obviously, you're talking about a pretty big treasure trove here.
Right. So our partner DigiMe, they don't see, touch, or hold the data. They give you the only key to access this and then allow you to share that data with apps like ours when you choose. Mm. It's actually a two-app system, which is very non-traditional. And what it allows us to do is do a lot of edge processing and analytics on the device. So we're minimizing any of the data that leaves your device. And then what we call tags, it's called private match, right? These things that I've mentioned, you're a runner, you're a skier, you're a female, right? That's all kept on your device. So neither us at Ubdi or any of our partners know who you are. And we ensure that no profiles are being built on people.
And then just on the purely mercenary side of things, how much do you expect that a consumer could make participating with Ubdi?
I think for some people, it will be hundreds. I think for many people, it will be thousands. And then I think there will be other communities of people. Maybe it's in the future of medical data or whatever it is, some special things about you that make you unique, that thousands upon thousands of dollars, maybe $5,000 to $10,000.
And then let's be explicit about why would some people make more? Why is some data, you know, more valuable than others?
Yeah. So I actually think a lot of people think when I say that I fundamentally believe that rich people are going to get richer, right? And that's the concern, right? That they're like, oh, well, the CEOs are going to be the ones that people want to reach out to. I don't actually think that's true, because some in emerging countries around the world, in places where there is a lack of data, right, in communities where you don't know where those communities are flawed or things that could help fix them, right? There's a lot of spend happening, whether it be through charities or governments or whatever, to find out how to boost communities up. And instead, they could just be putting that money into people's pockets because they know best, right? So I do think, of course, there will be the CEOs who someone might pay for an hour of their time and spend a lot of money. We're not shy about that. But I also think there's this opportunity for low-income individuals that are unique and are being, you know, quite frankly, studied across governments, nonprofits, and even companies themselves, that they do want to reach those demographics of people and haven't had the means to. So I think there's a lot of money in it for low-income families, and I think it's a really big step forward for where we are in this country and around the world.
What industry gives you the most business right now? Who's the hungriest for information?
So right now, the clients that we've been talking to, and I wish I could say names, but not yet. But the clients we've been talking to are mostly in the retail space, whether it be clothing or electronics. There's people that are just trying to find more, not even necessarily about customers that aren't shopping at their stores, but about customers that are, and what type of people are drawn to their stores, and what are they coming there for, and what do they like when they're in that experience. There's also a lot of customers that one thing we do very well is comparative analysis, where if you wanted to look at, you know, you were requesting individuals to say, I'd like to look at for females spending on Uber versus Lyft, right? And then I'd like to ask a set of questions on top of that on, are you picking your rideshare because it's safe, because it's convenient, because of price, whatever that may be. So pairing that data to see that maybe females find Lyft more safe, and that's something that we might have started to find. There's just these really unique things like that, that any company looking for some sort of comparative analysis between them and a competitor company, that's something we do very well.
And then how does Ubdi make money?
Yeah, so we take 20% of what companies are paying, and 80% goes straight back to the individual. So pretty easy transaction fee there.
And then I wonder, one just kind of last philosophical question is that sometimes when you talk about the idea of paying people for their data, you will have privacy experts who say, okay, but you're still buying into a flawed system. Like, you're still buying into a system that relies on people's data. And wouldn't it be better if we just didn't do that? And I wonder, like, is this still just sort of allowing people to participate in a system that's going to just want more of their information forever?
You know, it's interesting. For one, there's different nonprofits and other, you know, local governments that we're opening up access to and helping them. But also, part of privacy, which people somehow seem to forget, is about choice. And you should have ownership over your data, and you should be able to choose for yourself. So for them, go ahead and choose what is best for you in your life. But you don't get to make that choice for me. And so I think to those people, I want them to challenge us. I want them to hold us accountable. I've been active in different articles where they said other people wouldn't talk to us. And I said, go ahead, say, call us whatever you want to call us with data monetization vehicles. But at the end of the day, one, this is a step in absolute better direction than the data economy we have today. And part two, giving people choice, I think, is always the better path.
Dana Budzin is a co-founder and CEO of Ubdi. Still have questions? Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech podcast for more information. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Here at Marketplace, our mission is to make people smarter about the economy through reliable, independent journalism. And your support is what makes it possible. Whether you donate a little or a lot, being a Marketplace investor makes you a partner in that mission. If you're already giving, thank you very much for going above and beyond. And if not, there's still time. Donate today at marketplace.org. And thanks.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know.
Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.